Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We've been studying through the Sermon on the Mount, and it's worth noting that first half of the prayer is all about God, doesn't even mention us. Second half of the prayer is about our needs. And in that second half of the prayer about our needs, it's interesting that there's one quick phrase about the needs of the body, and the whole rest of it is the needs of the soul. And our chief spiritual need is forgiveness. There are two kinds of forgiveness: the forgiveness that you get the day that you become a Christian, and the forgiveness that you receive day by day after you become a Christian. And the kind in the Lord's Prayer is that second kind, temporal forgiveness here and now. The eternal forgiveness is already taken care of. That once for all eternal forgiveness comes at conversion. That's once for all. But then as you walk through this life as a Christian and you fall into sin, you receive temporal forgiveness day by day. The first kind is the king's amnesty for his conquered enemy. The second kind of forgiveness is a father's reconciliation with a disobedient son. And there is a universe of difference between the two. When an enemy of God finally surrenders and lays down his weapons and bows the knee to the King of Kings and asks for pardon, at that moment, God forgives all of his past sins, adopts him into his family as his own child. That's eternal forgiveness. And from that moment on, that person has a much, much different kind of relationship with God than he had when he was God's enemy. It's a completely different kind of relationship. However, it's still possible as a son for him to do things that disrupt the closeness of that relationship. And so there's still a need for that kind of forgiveness, that family forgiveness in those times when the closeness and intimacy with the father has been disturbed by sin. God forgives an enemy, that person goes from being lost to being saved. When God forgives one of his own children, it's not a matter of going from being lost to being saved. It's just simply a matter of going from being at odds with your dad to some degree to everything being just fine between you and your dad. That's what it is. Jesus, I believe, made this distinction in John 13. He's washing the disciples' feet. Verse 8, "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then, "Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my head and hands as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean. You have no part with me if you don't let me wash your feet, but you don't need a bath." Those people walk around in sandals. You know, back then they'd walk around in sandals and dirt roads and get dirty feet. And so they arrived at a dinner, and they'd wash their feet. They had to—I mean, they're reclining at their feet next to someone's head, and it's—and so they got to wash their feet. We don't worry so much about the feet. We do the same thing with our hands, right? You go to a friend's house for dinner. You don't show up and say, "Hey, mind if I can use your shower? I just need to clean it for dinner." You don't have to take another shower. You already took a shower. You just need to. All you do is just rinse off the germs off your hands, and so you can sit down and eat dinner. The day you became a Christian, you got a bath. You got a bath. And in this imagery, your whole life is that day. And you don't need to keep taking baths over and over all through the day. You just need to rinse the stuff off your feet. Your feet are what's in contact with this world, and it gets soiled as we fall into sin, and you need it to be rinsed off. So what does it mean to have this dirt rinsed off our feet? What does it mean to have it on your feet? And then what does it mean to have it rinsed off? When you sin as a believer, you're not kicked out of the family, but there still are some negative effects within the family. Even as a son or daughter, deeply loved by God, it is possible to do things that either enhance or disrupt your fellowship with Him. Genuine, born again, justified, adopted, saved, forgiven children of God can still sometimes do things that especially please him or that displease or even anger him. And so it's possible to have his favor in a general way as a beloved child all the time, and at the same time be at odds with him in some particular instance at some level. And that isn't really that hard to understand. It might sound like a contradiction, but if you're in a loving family, you can understand that. You have a son or daughter whom you deeply love and it's the light of your life. There's a world of difference between how you feel about that child and any other child on the planet. And yet, that child, even though you love them so much, and yet they have so much of your favor, can still do things that put a strain on your relationship so that you're just not as close as now as you were yesterday. But even when they do that, even when the relationship is strained, still, that child has more favor in your eyes than any other child on the planet. They're not kicked out of the family every time they do something wrong, but there's a change in the degree of closeness and harmony that you have in your home. We enjoy favor with God because we are in Christ. That's what enables us to be part of the family. That's what brings us into the family so we can have all this favor. When God is the most displeased with you that he's ever been in your whole Christian life, at that moment, you still have infinitely more favor from God than the best, most upstanding non-Christian in the world. Because when God looks at you, he sees Christ. But he doesn't only see Christ. He sees you. God deals with us not just positionally in Christ, but he deals with us personally and individually. He sees you. He's responsive to what you do, your disobedience, your obedience. This is part of what's unique about Christianity. It's a personal relationship. We saw last time the essence of forgiveness is not just exemption from punishment, it's restoration of the good favor of the person that you sinned against, that relationship. And so it's one of the things that sets us apart from other religions. Ours is not a religion of just doing ceremonies and rituals and jumping through hoops to achieve religious merit badges. Christianity, first and foremost, is an issue of knowing God. Knowing him. It's a relationship. And sin disturbs that relationship, and so forgiveness opens the door for that closeness to be restored after it's been disturbed. That's why there's no necessary connection, as we saw last week, between forgiveness and removal of punishment, necessarily. But there is a necessary connection between forgiveness and love. Those are joined together. Luke 7:47, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. That's why you never see the word forgiveness in Scripture. Anytime you see that word forgiveness in Scripture, you never have to look very far to see words like love and mercy and compassion and comfort and kindness. Those are part of forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. 2 Corinthians 2:7, you ought to forgive and comfort him. Forgiveness is a replacing of the anger with mercy. It's Micah 7:18, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. That's forgiveness.
Sometimes people think of their forgiveness from God as being little more than a pardon. They're exempted from the penalty of hell. But they fail to appreciate the feelings of love and tenderness toward them in the heart of God that's part of that forgiveness. If you're a believer, take a moment to just sit back and enjoy God's tender feelings toward you right now. Secondly, consider your forgiveness of those who have hurt you and repented. Is your forgiveness couched in those same feelings of tender-hearted compassion, mercy, and love? If so, thank God for giving you the grace to forgive like that. And if not, take some time to consider how God has forgiven you and ask him for that grace to forgive others the same way.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.